Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home, and we look forward to spending this time with you. And also, you know, we would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, we're so happy to have Kelly Mantone joining us again. She's authored a great book entitled Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as Special Needs Parent. She also started a beautiful ministry, and I want you to go out to our website called acceptingthegift.org, and we're going to talk about that in the show, where she ministers to other parents whose children have these adverse diagnoses. And, you know, I love what she was sharing, how her Catholic faith is so important to her. And maybe you're out there and you're not deep in your faith, and you're like, how is she going to do this? And you're just trying to come up for air. Well, Kelly and her husband have been pioneers in this and really want to help you to say, not only are you going to survive, but you have the opportunity to thrive and to love well and to live well and to be a witness. For God's sake, especially in this culture of death, where when you get an adverse diagnosis in pregnancy, and it's nobody wants to suffer, nobody wants to hurt, and go and have an abortion, and she's living large and living well, and her light is shining bright, and I know she's making Jesus, Mary, and Joseph very happy.
And for so many, maybe even now, it's a Gethsemane experience, Father. May this cup pass for me, but not what I will, but what you will. And that cup did pass by drinking the cup down. And God did amazing things. Your life, in the midst of being a special needs parent, your children, will be better than okay. And there will be a joy that passes a human understanding in the midst of those relationships. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, today we're delighted to have with us again Kelly Mantone, and she's authored a great book from a life that she's lived. It's called Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as Special Needs Parent. And she has a beautiful website and a beautiful ministry that we're going to talk about today called acceptingthegift.org. Well, Kelly, tell our family about the book in a nutshell, really, because Better Than Okay, Finding Joy in the Midst, it's kind of like, wait a minute, that's an oxymoron. How could that be? Especially in this culture of death, where they think the most compassionate thing is to end the life of those children before they're even born. So tell our family why this book, why now?
Right, so I have 5 children, and my 2 youngest have spinal muscular atrophy, SMA. So they're physically disabled, they require care for everything, and they use power wheelchairs for mobility. So I was, you know, thrown into this whole world very suddenly after having 3 typically developing children. And, you know, I wrote the book from the experience I gained kind of going through the stages of grief and then learning to come to acceptance and how to find joy as a special needs parent. But, you know, when you put out a book, your publisher wants you to get it out there. So I started looking around, where can I promote this book? You know, and I looked and I was really kind of surprised. I found dioceses that have wonderful programs for special needs families. And then I found dioceses that it was crickets. I couldn't even see on their website, who would I even reach out to if I was a parent in that diocese and had questions about, you know, maybe my autistic child receiving a sacrament or needing some accommodations. And, you know, I was looking, is there any sort of meetup or support groups? And there wasn't really anything. And I was so surprised because at our parish, they've just been over backwards to really include us. They put in different ramps, curb cuts, you know, really made a lot of accommodations and, you know, helped us with religious education and all sorts of things. And I was so surprised when I realized that wasn't standard. There were so many parents that were out there and were really struggling. And so I realized the book was great. I needed to get that out there, especially for parents who were dealing with the diagnosis right away. But yet there was so much more that needed to be done for parents as they were raising these children with special needs, you know, and trying to raise them in the faith at their local parish and realizing, you know, their child might be denied a sacrament, you know, or they might not be able to get into a classroom, or they just, you know, might encounter a lot of obstacles that I hadn't. And so that's really what encouraged me then to start the ministry. And reach out to parents that were in some of these dioceses and places where there just wasn't anything and really try to help.
And you think about that when you say that. I know that to be true. Here in the Diocese of Birmingham, we've been very blessed. We have a priest, Father Cullen, who does a whole beautiful ministry for children and make sure they get all the sacraments and everything that they need in the church. And then they have their own community and the parents get together, which is so important. But for if you're a bishop or a priest out there, we have to ask ourselves the questions. What am I providing? Do I have anything in my diocese? Do I even have a handicap ramp that a person who maybe needs a wheelchair access or an elevator? And we just think that that's supposed to happen, but it's not happening, as simple as that is.
Right, yeah, I was so surprised when I realized that the ADA doesn't even really apply to churches. And so, you know, every time we travel and we want to go to Mass, you know, for the most part, we've been very lucky. We haven't had major problems getting into any of the parishes that we visited, but sometimes it's like we're trying to put our sons off to the side somewhere. It's hard to get them up for communion sometimes in their power wheelchairs. So making churches accessible for those with physical disabilities, you know, there's so much more that can be done. But also, something that really always amazes me is I'll look on websites for dioceses, because nowadays that's where parents are going to look. And so many dioceses just don't even have a contact person. So if you're a special needs parent with a question, there's just not even a contact person. Or I found out the hard way when I tried to reach out and say, hey, I have this ministry. So many emails got returned. So they had a contact person that was supposed to help families with disabled children. But when you reached out to them, that email wasn't even active anymore. It wasn't like they even updated the information.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a issue.
We have work to do.
Yes, we have work to do. And, you know, I try to do, my ministry does two things. We help the parents first and foremost. We provide resources and support for them. We have online meetings. We have a community online. So it doesn't matter where you are around the country. You can connect with other parents who are walking the same walk as you. You're going to connect with parents like me who we've been at this for a while. We're in a good place. So if you're struggling and you need that support, there's parents there, because you're not always going to find that in your secular support group. There's certainly lots of groups out there for parents who have children with SMA, spinal muscular atrophy, but I wasn't getting the same sort of support there that I get from my Catholic brothers and sisters in accepting the gift. So we offer that, but then we also teach parents how to go and advocate for their children at the parish. And, you know, priests and like directors of religious education, they're not trying, in most cases, they're not trying to exclude you. They just don't know what to do. And if as a parent, we don't know what to ask for, you know, then it's, we don't know what to do.
Right.
So we just teach parents how to go and ask for these things, ask for these sacraments. One of the greatest things of the ministry is when a parent tells me, I found your ministry, I used your materials, and now my daughter has received First Holy Communion. I didn't even think that she could receive, and no one had ever approached us at the parish about why she wasn't in religious ed. And now children are receiving the sacraments because of the ministry and what we've put out. And for me, that's, I mean, I don't need to do anything else. Like right there, you know, Jesus says, bring the children to me, do not hinder them. So we're just, just trying to get the kids to him.
Right.
And you know, so if, and just priests need to know, err on the side, the bishops say, err on the side of giving these sacraments, you know, First Holy Communion, confirmation, you want to inform and instruct the children as much as possible, but work with them and give them the sacrament. So it's letting priests know that's the goal and letting bishops know, set up systems in the diocese so when parents are looking and struggling, there's information there for them and for the priests who are looking to implement things at their parishes as well.
So in your resources, there's so many areas that you've just touched on. One is just ministry to these people that have become special needs parents. They're trying to get their head around exactly what's happening to them. They're in this kind of fog about these things. They're going through the stages of grief. They may not even know that. How you can cope with those areas, finally coming to acceptance, your Catholic faith helping you along, all that's there. And then you're doing this advocacy work. So you're saying, thanks to what you're giving me, now my child is receiving the sacraments. Well, what are you telling them to do? To address the priest? Here's what you say. How are these things changing? How are they being equipped to do that?
Well, first is just telling parents that, you know, just because your child, say, is nonverbal autistic, they can still receive the sacraments. Mm-hmm. Or just because your child maybe can't take the host, they can still take the, you know, the chalice and get the blood, you know? Mm-hmm. Accommodations can be made. Some parents just don't even know it's an option. Mm-hmm. So it's just letting them know, this is what the church says. Your child is welcome to come and we can work with you. And then saying, literally, we have letters that they can copy and send to the priest introducing their family. We're very big, you know, introduce yourselves before you have a need. Build up that relationship at your parish and everything. So then when your child is coming up on a sacramental age, the priest already knows your family. Again, our parish, you know, in our parish, the pastor, he knew us. Mm-hmm. And so then when our child was diagnosed, when Fulton was diagnosed, Tay dies, you know, he knew. Mm-hmm. He knew us, and he was like, we're going
to
do whatever
we need to
whatever we need to do. Mm-hmm. So if you have that relationship with your priest, then, you know, they're going to be willing to work with you. If you just kind of show up and one day say, I need all these things. So, but we literally are resources. We have the letters. We have exactly what to say, exactly what to ask for. Yeah. So parents, it's minimal work for them because, again, we don't
Well, you don't want them to reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you went through it. You've been there, done that. It's kind of like we want to make this as easy as possible for you.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things we were talking in the green room, and this is important to me because I'm an older woman, is your self-care.
Yes.
What does you're doing amazing things. God has obviously brought great beauty out of these ashes that you thought, this is it. This is not what I was hoping and planning for. What do you do to take care of Kelly and Tony in your marriage? Yeah. And then also for the other parents that are out there, because it could become all-encompassing 24/7. Where do we breathe? How do I breathe? You know, tell our
family. How does your husband breathe?
Yeah, right. Like how are we doing this?
Yes, yeah, and again, this is something on the blog on our website, acceptinggift.org. Mm-hmm. We write, so my husband and I, we have date nights, mm-hmm. and we go out quite a bit, especially now that we do have some older children that can help when we step out. So we've made date nights a priority. And even if you're a parent that can't really leave the house, if you set aside time in the morning, for years, we just had coffee in the morning mm-hmm. before the kids were awake. And that's what we did. And we jealously guarded that time. Mm-hmm. So even if I think some people think, oh, well, you need like a week in the Caribbean or you need some, no, coffee in the morning. That's so wonderful, you know, and then we're so, again, through our parish, through our local community, he has, you know, a great group of guys he can go out with. So I kick him out, you know, go have fun, go enjoy that. I have a wonderful community of women. I can go out and do things as well. Right. I said my secret is massages. Mm-hmm. I do treat myself to that.
Yes, because in caring for both your sons, you're labor. It's physical labor.
It is, yes.
So you have to physically take care of Kelly.
Yes.
You have to be well.
Yes. So I do. I do have to take care of myself. And again, through our ministry, we do give advice on that. You know, mothers, fathers that are more, you know, we're further down the road. We're showing how we're doing it. We're writing about it and we're telling about it. And in our online group, we're chatting about it. So as parents are coming in and they're saying, we don't know, how do we schedule this time for ourselves? Mm-hmm. How do we make this work? How do we do this? We're there. The experienced parents, we're there in that group and we're gonna tell you how and we're gonna help you. And you know, there will be challenging times. Like when we go through a long hospital stay or something, well obviously that's you know, challenging. But because we put that time in on self-care and care for the marriage at when we can, we can get through those more challenging times.
Yeah, so. And I love it because that's so practical. Mm-hmm. Because you can't, you gotta put something in the tank. Because yes. The tank will be tapped.
Yes.
Right? The tank will get tapped, but you have to make sure that all along the way you're doing some self-care, not just spiritual, but emotional and physical, and all those beautiful things. And like you said, you have to guard that time. It has to become a sacred space and just say, my husband and I are going to have eye-to-eye contact. We're going to talk. We're going to connect with each other on an emotional level. How are you? How are you? Are we okay? I mean, we got to ask ourselves those questions, you know?
Yep.
We're married 47 years. We're still asking ourselves those questions, I mean, which is important so that it, because it is the long view. And so yes. For a new mom that's out there who just heard this diagnosis and who's in shock or is in denial, you know, you get to throw her a lifeline.
Right.
And to say, wait a minute, you know, I can't swim your water. It's your water to swim.
Right.
It's your cross to bear. But we can help you along the way with our wisdom and our counsel and our advice, what you've lived and what you've learned.
Yes.
You know, I'm just thinking that there must be numerous priests and bishops who have experience in their own, you know, relative pool of special needs. You know, cousins and nephews and so on. And priests overall know that this is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they just don't know what to do possibly. But could they call you, your ministry, touch base with you to say, I want to initiate something in my parish or like to see something happen in the diocese. Can we partner together in this? Are you seeing any of that take place?
So actually, I find that the priests and the bishops who have that family member, mm-hmm. they're usually the ones that already have, because they've already seen what their family needed, and so they're very proactive. Mm-hmm. But there's a wonderful organization, National Catholic Partnership on Disability. They do a lot of work helping at that diocesan and parish
What's
level.
What's the name of that again?
National Catholic Partnership on Disability, ncpd.org.
Okay.
They have a lot of resources for that bishop administration level, but I have been getting a lot of dioceses that reach out to me, the like priests and directors of religious education,
mm-hmm, right.
saying, okay, this is great, we want to make sure we're offering this to our kids, different sacramental prep, what can you recommend?
Right.
And that's where the ministry has been doing a little bit more on that area as well, supporting the parents, but then helping those that work with the parents, letting them know, this is what we need. Mm. This is what our kids require.
We're gonna take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment. It's Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as a Special Needs Parent, along with a website. So there's hope and there's joy in the midst of all this. We'll be right back, don't go away. Having a wonderful and profound conversation with Kelly Mantone, Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as a Special Needs Parent. Again and again, as I read the book and just kind of talking with you, what comes to me is that we have to change the way that we see things. So if we just keep looking into this grief and depression and what we thought, I mean, that's how you get burnout, because you're disillusioned and you burn out. But you've tilted your head, and you're seeing the blessings. You're seeing human beings. You're not seeing people who are their condition. That's there. You're seeing people. And so you change the way you see. How can you help people out there with special needs situations to tilt their head a little bit and say, this is not just an ugly hag. She's beautiful, but you got to tilt. How did you tilt your head? What are the components? Going through the grief, you have virtues here. Your advice?
I think, you know, it was learning to be thankful, because I was seeing how happy my sons were. You think, oh, your child has this terrible disease. They're always going to be unhappy. But that's not true at all. My sons were happy and living a wonderful life. And, you know, so when I was like, I'm the one that's sad. I'm the one that's bringing that negative mindset.
Wow.
And when I changed that and tried to be more like them, and also like my other children who, you know, they were so young when their brothers were diagnosed. but they never saw anything wrong with them.
Right.
And so when I started to have that childlike innocence and view my younger two sons with that same joy and wonder and as gifts and accepting them as gifts that they were and blessings, that was the whole mindset shift. And it's just getting, you know, parents to see that in their child, but then also, you know, through the ministry, is seeing that, you know, we're not coming into the church just asking for things. You know, special needs families, we don't just need and need and need, and we need prayers and we need services. We can give back so much.
Right.
And because our parish does so much for our family, has made so many accommodations, well, I can volunteer. I can help with, you know, CCD classes. My husband runs things. We can be a part of things. Our sons can participate in activities, potlucks, whatever. We can do just as much as anyone else at the parish, you know. So churches are always looking for volunteers. You know, we're here. We want to help, too. And I think also just saying, well, oh, do you want to take a slot for adoration? It's okay if you bring your child with autism and he makes some noise. That's fine. Like, we'd love for you to sign up and do that. So it's when you make those accommodations in your parishes, you're not just serving the, you know, special needs families. You're going to get so much back. The church is going to gain so much by doing these things for people with disabilities and their families.
And that's the training that we need as a parish, you know, because it's kind of like, yes, I have this disability, but normal, you know, otherwise normal here, you know, and we can contribute and so on. It's just that we don't want your pity. Like, we are contributors. We are unique, and we bring something that you may really need in this parish.
And the reality of that, you know, this is my son. This is my flesh and blood, and he is a place in the community. And he might not have all of his muscles working like yours, but his heart and his mind and his spirit, they're fully alive. And that's eternal. That's eternal. And so that's where your investment is as a mom. It's his soul. It's Fulton's soul, it's Teddy's soul, and and what they give back to you as a wife and mother.
We only have like 2 minutes left, but I just want to say, let's talk about the other kids in a minute. That's something that parents need to be concerned about, right? I know you were concerned about. Your father come down and say, how are you guys doing? Is this okay for you? Have we missed something with you? Are you angry with us?
I was going to say, you know, my older three, they've never expressed any sort of like anger or resentment, you know, and they have a wonderful relationship with their brothers. And I think it's because we never expected them to overparent. They always help and contributed, but we never expected them to take on more than what was appropriate for them. So they have, I think, normal sibling relationships.
Beautiful. So, Kelly, thank you. You are a tremendous blessing to us and to the church. Your book is just fantastic, Better Than Okay, Finding Joy as a Special Needs Parent. The website, acceptingthegift.org. We always say at the end of this show, you're never alone. You may really feel isolated and alone if you're a special need parent, grandparent, but you don't have to be. You can go to acceptingthegift.org. We're all in this together. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. We'll find the people that could speak to you in your situation. And you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.